If you have the Bibles, if you'd stand with me, please, Galatians 6. I want to read the first 10 verses. In the NIV, it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Lord, we thank you for your word. We know that it's going to feed us. That's what your word does. It's bread. It's meat. It's milk. We ask, Lord, that you would accomplish your purpose through this message. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit to do what I can't do on my own. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week's message, I opened it up with a word puzzle. And you were able to, Kurt was able. Maybe you were not able, but Kurt was able to figure it out. You're so smart, Kurt. You figured it out. The big if. Well, Kurt, today I have a riddle. This time, don't answer, because you'll probably figure it out again. Give somebody else a chance, all right? This is like school, and I get to tell you, the professor, don't answer the question. So here we go. I want you to see if you can figure this out. I'm describing something. Are you ready? What is free but priceless? You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. It's this thing that all things devours, birds, beasts, trees, flowers. It gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays king, ruins town, beats high mountain down. No, it's not the Hobbit. Yes. What is too slow for those who wait, too swift for those who fear, too long for those who grieve, too short for those who rejoice? Time. Time. Until I am measured, I am not known, yet how you miss me when I have flown. Time. Today's message is entitled, "Timing is Everything." Over the last couple of weeks, if you've got a television or the internet, you may have watched the Winter Olympics. And one of the favorite parts of the Olympics for me is the figure skating. Watching these people defy gravity and go up and do triple Lutzes and Saukows and Axels and everything they do. Their timing has to be perfect. If not, they will be kissing the ice. That's not good, by the way, if you don't know ice skating. You don't want to do that. But you have to get off at just the right moment, off the edge of the skate, do your spin and land with the right timing so that you catch that turn, you do it just right to score the good points. Timing is everything. If you've ever had the chance to hear a good comedian, hopefully a clean one, but a good comedian or an excellent actress or actor that has a sense of timing, a good comedian will bring you in and just hold you for a second and then boom. Now, I don't appreciate all of the humor that Jay Leno has, but Jay has a wonderful ability for timing. He doesn't rush the punchline. He holds it just in time. Timing is everything. My son, Jonathan, has been attempting to teach me how to play this one video game he has. I was raised on Pong, okay? You turn the knob, there's a white bar, you hit the thing, and it goes back over, and you got plenty of time before it comes back. Jonathan is there, he goes, "Well, Dad, this is the controller. This is A, this is B, this is X, this is Y, this is R." I'm like, "Ah, there's too many buttons to push and pull." He goes, no, it's this. So I'm trying to play against him. He gives me a 30-point lead in basketball. he goes, well, Dad, don't you know how to pass it? I already went over it with you. I don't know which button to push, and I'm trying. He goes, well, here's how you get this one to shoot the ball. And he said, and if you get it right, it says perfect timing or something like that. I'm like, Dad, you did it! It's all about timing. If you're hitting a baseball, timing is everything. And some of these batters will get in a zone where they can just get it every time. And then there's times they get in a slump like Big Poppy had last year. Timing was off. He just couldn't hit it right. Ground outs, fly outs, strikes, he just blew it. Because timing is everything. But timing isn't just everything in sports or in entertainment. Timing really is everything in life. And God's desire is that our timing would be lined up with his timing. Because God has timing. God has perfect timing. I went through the scripture and wrote down a few scriptures that talk about God's timing. Listen to a few of these. Isaiah 60, verse 22. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything in the season. You know, a time. What group made a song out of that? Yeah, turn. Who did that? The Birds. Yes, I thought it was the Birds. Thank you. Yes. You're surrounded by them, okay? You have puns in stereo, okay? And unfortunately, there's no off switch. Time. In Ecclesiastes 3, the Bible says that God makes everything beautiful in its time. In Habakkuk 2:3, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. In John 17:2, Father, the time has come. Acts 1:7, to his disciples, Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Acts 3:21, he must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Acts 17:26, from one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them, the exact places where they should live. Galatians 4:4, but when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, made under the law. Time. It's all about timing. I believe that it is coming very soon to be God's time for Schoharie County. Now, what I find interesting, I don't know how many of you get the Times Journal, but on page 8 of the Times Journal this week, a realtor by the name of Jack Kelly from Caldwell Banker met with the supervisors of our county to talk about the Guilford Mills plant. They're trying to get it sold and trying to generate some income. Now, I don't know if he's a Christian, much less whether he's a prophet or not. But listen to what he said that I think is prophetic. He said, I see Schoharie County as where Saratoga County was 35 years ago. And here's what I quote. You have a lot of potential here. Your time has come. The torch has been passed to you. This is a real great place to live. Now, I know that in the Bible, Caiaphas, the high priest, prophesied, not purposely, but the Holy Spirit was on him. I don't know if the Holy Spirit's on him, but I know what he's saying resonates with my spirit. The time has come. Your time has come. The torch has been passed to you. God wants to do something in this valley, and I do believe that very much, that God has a time for everything. Why has it taken 4 centuries? Now is the time. And God's desire for us is to trust that his timing is perfect. But that's where the rub is, to use Shakespeare's term. Our timing and God's timing don't always mesh. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe it's because he knows everything and we only know in part. And we think we know when we don't know. That's scary. We think we have it figured out. 8 years ago when we bought the land, we were pretty sure we had the timing. We had set aside $60,000 for the property. We, in a miracle offering, thanks to Bill's incredible sense of timing, over a 13-week period, $40,000 came in for the miracle offering, which brought us up to $100,000, leaving us $25,000, which we financed for 10 years. And 2.5 months into it, someone approaches me and says, how much do you owe on the land? And they write a check for between $18,000 and $19,000 and paid off the land. We were convinced it was timing. And we went plowing forward until we ran into a zoning board that said, no. What happened to our timing? Well, God knew that at that point, if we built it, we would have built it. There were things that he had to address in our lives. There's things that he had to address in my life. There's things he had to do in the community. So our timing wasn't the right timing. And when you look at Scripture, don't you see again and again that God's timing doesn't always match our timing? Think of last week, I mentioned the example of Abraham who had an if only with Ishmael. Or Joseph, whose brothers had an if only. Abraham was given a promise at 75 years of age that God was going to bless the socks off of him. 25 years later, he gets Isaac. My guess is that at 75, Abraham was not thinking a quarter of a century later. And when Ishmael was born, he was certainly not thinking another 14 years after that to find out it was Isaac. When Joseph had the dreams about people bowing down to him, I don't think he had in mind 20 years of in Egypt, first in bondage and then slavery to Potiphar and then thrown into prison and then married and not able to go home. It isn't until he's 38, 39, before his brothers come to him. Because he was raised up at 30, 7 years of plenty, and it wasn't until the famine that the brothers showed up. I seriously doubt he thought it was going to be 20 to 22 years after the promise. See, we get an idea that we know best when the timing is. And the danger of that is we try to force God's hand. When we aren't content with God's timing, or we think we know what we don't know, then we try to force it. We try to force it with our soul, with our will. We manipulate. We try to do what we have to control to make sure our timing works. Now, sometimes the problem isn't that we try to get ahead of God. Sometimes we lag behind him through disobedience and rebellion. But either way, we miss the timing. God's plan is that we stay in step. In Galatians 5:25, Paul says that if we live in the Spirit, let us stay in step with the Spirit. Spirit takes a step. It's like being outside in the weather that where it is now, and you see such huge snow. But if you're a parent, you take a step, and then your kid can put his or her foot in your foot. Staying in step. Staying in step. And God's desire is that we stay in step with him. But we don't always get that. We get off. For example, Esther. God allows Esther to become queen, and Haman tries to destroy the Jews, and Mordecai says to Esther, how do you not know? Is it possible, and I'm paraphrasing, that God raised you up for such a time as this? She was just thinking, hey, I'm a queen. This is great. But Mordecai has God's timing. What if God raised you up for such a time as this? What if it's God's timetable for you now, Esther? Right now. It's time. But we get frustrated in our lives. I don't know about you, but I do. When I think I have the timing and it doesn't work out and my goals get blocked, I get frustrated. How about you? I feel like David sometimes. You know, here's King David, 13, 14, maybe 15 years of age, gets anointed with oil by Samuel. You're going to be the king. Yeah, this is great. He then gets asked to help Saul with Saul's issues, and he plays the harp. Yes, I'm in the court. And then I get Saul's daughter. I am on my way up. I'm on the fast track. I am ready to move into position. And next thing you know, my father-in-law is throwing javelins at me. That's not exactly good for a career move, to have the boss trying to kill you. And so then David wanders for years being chased by a lunatic, a demonically inspired lunatic. And David cries out in Psalm 13, how long? Oh, Lord, how long? Are you going to forget me forever? Have you ever had that happen when you think you knew God's timing and it wasn't God's timing, and you get more and more frustrated? It looks like everything is going down around you, falling down around you. And you're like, Lord, how long? You got to trust me, David. I know my timing. You got to trust that I know what I'm doing with my timing. But that can be hard sometimes. Think about Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus gets ill. They send a message to Jesus, come. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't move. He waits until Lazarus dies. Jesus shows up, and what does Martha run up to? If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. What's the implication? You're late. And then Mary runs up to him a little bit later. You know, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Translation, you're late. But Jesus is never late. He's always on time because he's always in tune with the Father's time. He hears what the Father says. He does what the Father does. So he's always on time. He already knows what the Father's going to do. But Mary and Martha can't figure it out. So they're grieving. They don't understand that the one who is the resurrection and the life, who is walked in amongst them, is not late. I talked last week about the what ifs. And I was teasing about the what ifs, that because we get the what ifs, we clench our knuckles on the chair and we don't want to let go. Doesn't it come back to, I really don't believe that God's timing is best? I mean, that's hard to hear, but it's true. That I am called to believe that God knows what he's doing. Jairus had to deal with that. Jairus, he wants Jesus to come and heal his daughter. And then Jesus gets apparently delayed by a woman with an issue of blood. Jairus is a big shot. Jairus is thinking, my girl's going to die. What is this woman with an issue of blood? This is not important. What's important is my need. And Jesus stops the crowd, picks the woman out of the crowd, talks to her, heals the whole nine yards. And then Jairus gets the news, don't bother the teacher anymore, your kid's dead. And Jesus just looks at him, belief. Just belief. Why? Because Jesus is in tune with the Father's timing. And he goes up and he heals Jairus' daughter, raises her from the dead. It's all about timing. When Paul tried in his second missionary journey to go into Bithynia and Mysia, he thought he had God's timing. The Holy Spirit said, no. So then he went over to Asia and he wanted to go into Asia. The Holy Spirit said, no. It was then that he had the vision of the man from Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. Paul wanted to do it God's timing. And so I want to challenge us as a congregation that this today and next week, because I want to dig in much deeper in Galatians 6 next week, but I want us to make sure that our lives are lining up with God's timing. That we're not lagging behind because of disobedience, unbelief, or rebellion, but nor are we trying to get ahead of God and force our will. Because either way, we're going to miss what God has in store for us. We want to line up with his timing. Now, one of the things that's amazing is that our timing can affect God's timing. Does that shock you? That the sovereign God of the universe, who has everything in his hands and his will, that there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord, that this God has created a universe in which your choice and your attitude and my attitude can affect his timetable. Really? Well, take a look with me in Jonah. God says to the prophet Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, and I want you to tell them 40 days from now they're toast. That's the Ray paraphrase, but it's close. Jonah doesn't want to go. Jonah goes in the opposite direction. You know the whole account. He ends up in the big fish. He gets spit up on the shore, the whole nine yards. He goes. And he says, 40 days from now, you're toast. And what happened? The king of Nineveh and all the people repented. Now, God didn't say, if you repent, I'll release you. He just said, 40 days from now, you're dead. I'm wiping you out. Judgment has been declared. There's the timetable. But because they responded to that word and repented, it says God relented. Their repentance changed God's timetable. It delayed. It gave a stay of judgment. Now, 150 years later, Nineveh did go down. Nahum the prophet was called of God to predict, and Assyria was destroyed by Babylon, taken over, and Nineveh was wiped out. But the timetable was affected. In this case, it was a good change. Sometimes it's a negative change. The Hebrew Christians, in the book of Hebrews, they had been Jewish Christians, they had been Jews, they came to faith in Christ, they were loving the Lord, but then things got tough. And they were thinking, you know what? Serving Christ is a little difficult. I think I want to go back towards my Judaism. And the writer of Hebrews writes to encourage them, don't go back, go forward. You've got better promises, a better covenant, a better mediator, a better high priest. Don't go back. But in chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews rebukes the Hebrew Christians, and he says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you're not ready for it. By this time, you ought to be teachers, but you're still babes. You need milk, not meat. Now, what's the implication? There was a timetable where they should have been here, but they were only here. And because they were only here and not here, it was limited to what they could get. Their failure to have their lives line up with God's timetable was costing them God's blessings. We want to make sure our timetable and God's timetable agree. We want to make sure we're not lagging behind and we're not getting ahead, because either one is dangerous. Look at the nation of Israel. When God brought them out, we've mentioned this over the last few weeks, that when God brought Israel out of bondage of Egypt, he brought them across the Red Sea to Mount Sinai. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He formed them as a people. He gave them the tabernacle. He had the tabernacle built. His glory filled the tabernacle. And then in Numbers 13, he says, okay, it's time. It's time to go into the promised land and take it. God's timetable. It's time. They send out the 12 spies. 10 spies come back with a bad report. You know what happens? They lose the promised land. Why? Because God had a timetable for them, and through unbelief and rebellion, they lost the timetable. Think about that. They wasted 38 years that they did not need to waste because they failed to obey God. They got behind God's timetable. Now, what happened after that? Well, in Numbers 14, they decided, oh, okay, we were behind, so we'll go now. So now they're ahead. Because God said, let's go in. They said no. Okay, so they were behind. And then God says, okay, judgment, 38 years of wandering. Now my timetable is you've got to wander. They're like, no, we'll go in after all. So now they get ahead of them. And what happens? They get chased by their enemies. They get beat from being late. They get beat from getting ahead. Stay in time with God. Lined up with God. Is there some point you need me to make? My son gave me a quote from Lord of the Rings. When Frodo Baggins, the little hobbit, says to Gandalf, Gandalf, you're late. And Gandalf says, a wizard is never late, Frodo, nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he meant to. Thank you, son. Jesus Christ is better than any wizard. And Jesus Christ is never late or never early. He's always on time. We're the ones that deviate from his timetable. As I look back for me, and you can look in your own life, I look back over this last week, and I see the storm, and I was praying with the worship team before the service started, and I said that, I don't know if it was just the fact that I got thrown off by the snow, but I wasn't on God's timetable this week the way I enjoy being on his timetable. I spent most of it out on a snowblower being bounced all over the place. Yes, I'm just a tad sore. I'm glad I'm standing and not sitting. But what I noticed is that I was off in the timetable, and so it was like I felt like I was out of step. And so this morning I was on my face before God, just kneeling in his presence and saying, Lord, I don't want to be off your timetable. And I'm sharing transparently with you all. That's why I'm so appreciative of my wife and the guys that prayed for me. Because I want to stay on God's timetable and lead this congregation God's way. And it's very easy. It's not like I went out and said, well, let me blatantly sin. It's just I want to make sure that if he steps, I step. It's like in the Old Testament, when the cloud moved, they moved. And when the cloud didn't move, they didn't move. I believe what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do with me and with us is he wants us so sensitive to the prompting of his Holy Spirit. Because one of the things that will harm and hinder an awakening is when human beings put their hands on it. And it's not so much that it's outright sin, it's just self taking charge. Does that make sense? And so God wants us to stay in step with the Spirit. That's what Galatians 5:25 says. But here's what you're going to discover, and I want to look at much more in depth with you next week. In the learning to stay in step, it's hard work. It's tiring. When somebody does you dirt, to stop and say, all right, Lord, what is going on in me? What do you want to do in my life? Why is this person resulting in a spike in me? That's hard work. It's easier just to blame the other person. When God shows you something that you need to work on, it's easier just to project and blame somebody else or deny it and hide it. It's work. And yet, what does Paul say? He says, the one who sows to the Spirit will have the Spirit reap eternal life. He who sows to the flesh will the flesh reap death. He talks about sowing and reaping. And sowing and reaping doesn't happen overnight. When you plant your gardens in a month or two, God willing, the snow stops, you can plant your gardens. You're not going to plant them on day one and go out on day two and get a harvest. There's a delay time period while the thing's growing. And you and I are in a delay period where God is working in our lives. And you may not see it happen. And that's when you and I are going to be tempted to either help God or get frustrated with God and either get ahead of him or lag behind him. And this is where Paul's word to us is, do not become weary in doing good, for in due season or at the right time or at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't quit. This is where faith comes in. You know, we want our instant answers. We want to run to the altar and tomorrow be changed. But God is processing you for eternity. And yes, he will touch you at the altar, but that is only part of the process. That's not everything. It's just part of what he's doing in your life. And every part comes to play in making you what he wants you to be. Every experience you have with every person you run into is all part of God's processing to make you what he wants you to be, not only for eternity, but to get you ready for what he wants to do in this valley in your lifetime and in mine. And so we are called to stay in step. And whereas maybe before God gave us a lot of latitude, like a funnel, he allowed us to have a lot of latitude. He's funneling it down more and more and more to the spout that we are in tune and walking in the Spirit, staying in step with the Spirit. So much do I believe this that I believe God is stirring in my heart, and I said this to my board, and I've said this to a number of the leaders, that I believe God is going to have me begin to talk more and preach more about how to live in the Spirit, how to stay in step with the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit. Because that's absolutely the only thing that's going to change anybody's lives. Our programs won't, our machinery won't, my preaching won't, our effort won't. It'll be us being obedient to what God's saying, but it's staying in step with the Spirit. Does that make sense? And so to learn what that means, it's like when you have a little child. When Cameron and Bruce, or with Bruce and Amber had a little Cameron, she was part of our small group. The Delates were part of our small group for almost a year. And we watched little Cameron the baby become little Cameron the toddler. And as little Cameron was starting to walk, she was not perfect at it. She would fall down. But she, yeah, we're using Cameron as an example. Hi, sweetie. She was learning to walk. Now she's hopping and jumping and running. So I guess what I want to encourage you is, as you learn and as I learn, there's going to be times that you're going to falter. Paul says in Galatians 6:1, if someone's overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one gently, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I want to look at that more in depth next week. But the idea being is that we're in this with each other to help each other get this. To learn to walk together in the Spirit. And there's a whole series of commands that Paul gives us of what it means to stay in step with the Spirit. And I don't want to unpack. I was praying through the message this morning. I said, Lord, it's all about the timing. And if I preach the whole thing, I won't be in the timing. I'll be in the afternoon, and I will lose them halfway through my timing. So I should probably stop right about now, huh? Yeah, okay, then I will. And that's what I want to stop. But I want you to walk away with this first part, that God's call is for us to trust his timing and to allow him to begin to move our timing into his timing so that we're not lagging behind, we're not getting ahead. But that it's a learning curve. You're not going to get it perfect, but it's a learning to stay in step with the Spirit. And that's going to be essential for what God's going to do in the future. Does that make sense? So I got the point across. Did you get that? That's all I need to do today. Next week, I want you, if you would, if you have time, make time, please. Because we all have the same amount of time. So take the time that you have. You have 168 hours, 167 hours before we come back again together. In that time period, read Galatians. I want you to get Galatians in context, because Galatians 5 and 6 will make sense if you've read all of Galatians. So this is some prep for you for next week. But I want to look at the practical nuts and bolts next week of how we get in step with the Spirit and what it means in terms of relationship with each other and with the Lord, so that we don't become weary in doing good, because you can. When I got out of step, by the end of this week, I was weary. And I so appreciate you all praying for me. I'm starting to feel jazzed again. And I want this week to be different than last week, because I want to stay in step with this timing. And I want us to do that as a church. Let's pray. Is that cool or what? Lord, when we see the way you created the universe, there was evening and there was morning the first day. You have worked time into the creation of your universe. And you're the sovereign God, and that's just kind of bigger than we can get our hands around. That you have everything under your control. And within that universe, you've created human beings that can make choices. Your timing is exquisite. It's perfect. Perfect. They measure the tides by your time, the sunrise by your time, the seasons by your time, everything, Lord. Even down to the atomic level, timing. And your desire is for us to trust that your timing is best. We confess sometimes, Lord, that our timing isn't your timing. Sometimes because we think we know what your timing is when it's not, and sometimes because we've just gotten frustrated and lagged behind or tried to force our way. But you want us to walk in the peace like Jesus did of your timing, to hear what the Father is saying and do that through the power of your Spirit. That what you're going to do in this valley will be done by not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And if we're going to walk that out, then we need to stay in step with the Spirit. Because staying in step with the Spirit means that you might call us in the middle of Price Chopper or Walmart to walk up to somebody, lay hands on them, and pray for their healing. It might mean walking over to a bank and having a word from the Lord, a prophetic word to give somebody. We want the right timing, the right word, led by the Spirit. I pray this week that you'd make us sensitive to that. That each day, Lord, would begin with, may we be on your timing today, Lord? That we would be led by your Spirit today. And then when we gather back again together a week from now, we'll go, wow, was that cool or what, being on God's timing? Because it's an amazing adventure you have for us. And we want to enter it and have everything that you intend for us and through us for this valley. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.